Oh, magnify the Lord with me. Let us exalt his name together. It's Monday, October 19th, 2015. And due to the fact that I have a special guest on the line with me, her name is Stephanie Fast, author of She Is Mine, A War Orphan's Incredible Journey of Survival. Stephanie's an international speaker, focusing her efforts on advocating for orphans around the world. So maybe tomorrow on the Tuesday edition of Mark and Friends, I'll recap what went on Sunday, along with matching up winners for those that filled out Voice Listener Radio surveys. Reading from Isaiah chapter 43, verse 1. But now, this is what the Lord says. He who created you, O Jacob, he who formed you, O Israel, fear not, for I have redeemed you, I have summoned you by name, you are mine. Oh, dear listener, you're in for a real treat. As mentioned, I have on the phone with me Stephanie Fast. She's coming to town. She'll be right here in Mahomet on Monday, November 2nd, just about 2 weeks away. She'll be presenting from 7 to 8:30, and that'll be followed by coffee and desserts. We'll be gathering at the Grace Church of Mahomet, 800 West Oak Street, and that's right in Mahomet, Illinois. Oak Street is also known as 150, so get into Mahomet, lots of parking, and it'll be a wonderful event. And as mentioned, Stephanie recently wrote the book, She Is Mine, by Stephanie Fast, A War Orphan's Incredible Journey of Survival. And Stephanie, before I say much more, let me read the back cover of this book, because I think that'll lead right in to what I want you to share with our radio listeners, because you have such a passion for the orphan, to the vulnerable children throughout the world, and you just want to raise your voice to help their voices be known and recognized. But reading from the back cover of your new book, She Is Mine, it says, her father was an American serviceman, her mother a young Korean woman confused by the ravages of war, abandoned at age 4, nameless, homeless, and utterly alone, this child roamed the bleak, war-ravaged countryside of South Korea for 3 years and was finally left for dead. But the Creator had other plans and revealed them through the words, She is mine. Well, Stephanie, thank you for being available for today's edition of Mark and Friends, and I can't wait for our listeners to hear your story and to meet you in person on Monday, November 2nd, as you come to represent Loving Shepherd Ministries and the great work they do for orphan children throughout the world.
It is such an honor for me to come. I believe so much in what Loving Shepherd Ministries does in their work with orphans, and so I have teamed up with them just to bless the people in Mahomet and to see what God would do through individual people that wants to be heroes in one child's life.
Well, your book is just an eye-opener. I told you off-air that I was going to a marriage weekend conference with my wife, and I started reading it, and I got captivated by it. My wife's like, hey, this weekend is for us. What are you doing reading that book? So I just absolutely got drawn into the story from the very opening pages. And you start out with unwanted, orphaned, left for dead, rescued and redeemed. So I would love for you to share some of your story and the passion and the heart that you have, because God's put it in your heart, and it's God's heart for all children, for all people to know him. But start off with giving us some background of this life story that's captured in this book, She Is Mine.
Well, I wrote the book because I have a story that God was there in my life every stage of the way. I truly believe that for us as believers, even the things that happened before salvation, God knew and he had his hand on our life. So I just really want to emphasize that in a testimony, we need to know that there's nothing in our life that we would be better without. And so that's my story. And so I tell the story of a little girl that was abandoned, which was I. And I had no name because in South Korea, a male member of the family had to give you his family name. If that did not happen, you were not given a name. And if you were not given a name, you are not a citizen of that country. And if you're not a citizen, you have no paperwork to give you a future and a hope. And that is the essence of every orphan in a third world country. Oftentimes, most of these children have no identity papers. So if you have no identity papers, that means you have no future. So I just really wanted to emphasize why I went through what I went through. I was abandoned by my mother. In the first few chapters of my book, I give a face and a voice to a man and to a woman. Those stories actually were shared with me by a former soldier and by a former mother who gave up her child for adoption. And I felt like I needed to give my biological father and a biological mother a voice. And after doing much research, I realized more than likely my dad and mom's story would be very similar to that. I have vague memories of living with my mother and her family, but my memory definitely begins with her putting me on a train, telling me I was going to an uncle's, and he never came to pick me up, and I basically took care of myself for the next 3 years. I was found on a garbage heap by a Swedish nurse when I was 7, dying from what they call a summer disease. It's a form of small form of cholera. And really, in her logical mind, felt like she could not help me and was going to leave me there to die. And God intervened and spoke to her basically in an audible voice and said, "She is mine." That is why the scripture verse you just started out with, "Fear not, for I have redeemed you. I have summoned you by name. You are mine." That speaks deeply to my heart because the nurse that rescued me actually heard those words. She is mine. And I believe that is God's heartbeat for every child that comes into the world. This child belongs to me. The nurse that rescued me placed me in an orphanage. Of course, first brought me back to life almost, and then placed me in an orphanage. And I was in that orphanage for about 2 years. And then again, miracle of miracles, a young couple came to the orphanage, saw me, and when you read the book, you'll realize I was not the prime candidate. And they felt, again, an impression in their heart. You take this child home with you. You raise her as your daughter because I have a plan and a purpose for her. And that redemptive story of how my father responded to me in my ugliness and in my filth and in my brokenness, and yet he saw beyond that and said, "I want her as my daughter." And I truly believe that is the essence of the Bible, that Jesus came because there was no other way, and he came to walk in our shoes, to go through all the rejection and abandonment and betrayal that we as human beings experience in life, and the self-choices that we make that separates us from the love of God. But in that state of before we were cleaned and before we were redeemed and before we're transformed and before we're sanctified, the essence of the gospel is he loved us in our vulnerable, orphaned state.
Now, Stephanie, right now, many of our Great News Radio listeners are cheering. They're raising their arms up. They're saying, "Praise God," and they can identify with those very words because we serve a God full of grace and mercy. But I'm thinking back to your story. You know, your mother did, in fact, love you, but it was because of her brother, her uncle, when she stayed with the other family where they said, "You can't stay."
Well, it was because she had a biracial. One, in South Korea, even today, if you're a single parent, you are discriminated against. And then if you're a single parent with a biracial child, it just, you know, labels you in a way that no woman wants to be labeled in South Korea. She could not get married with me. She probably could not get, you know, recognition in a job pool having me as her daughter. And I definitely brought shame to her family.
Yeah.
So those were the essence of why she had to send me away.
Yeah, I know it probably, and I would think it certainly broke her heart to put you on the train, knowing that she was just kind of abandoning and leaving you. But I think at the time she probably just felt like her options were such that that was all she could do. And that's where the gripping story begins. And yet how God had that redemptive plan throughout your life, even in those early ages when it looked like you were orphaned and abandoned and not wanted, and yet God has over and over again shared with you that you are valuable, that you're priceless, that you're his daughter.
Right, right. Well, you know, I think we come back again to the scriptural reference, right? Because it's very interesting. You would think I would remember, my mom must have, you know, called me by a name, but I don't remember that. All my memory begins is a station master calling me Tugi. Now, I had been called that in the village, but my mom sort of had, you know, not really explained it to me. And, you know, it was done in a sort of a gentle kind of a way. But from that moment on, when I was called Tugi, which, you know, basically means half-breed, in a lot of ways, it would be like us using the N-word. You know what I'm saying? It just had a horrible connotation and just a terrible label. And it just basically, you know, means you are nothing. You are just dust. And so that became my identity. And that's what most people that saw me from that point called me, because they recognized that's what I was. And so in this world, we get an identity by the lies and the accusations and the manipulation in the circumstances that we live in. But we know when we read the Word of God and when our spirit is awakened by the Spirit of God and we understand what Jesus did and what our Heavenly Father is to us, that he created us and he knew us even before the foundation of the world. And in that message, he says, you are mine. I've given you a new name. I've given you a new purpose. I've given you a new life. I've given you my DNA. I've given you my inheritance. And you belong to my family.
Well, it was that American family that felt led of God to adopt you and bring you to the United States, and they wanted to claim you as theirs. But initially, because of the hard life you had lived, it was an adjustment for all of you, because you had some anger and some unresolved issues, and you didn't know if you could trust.
Right. That's definitely true. Well, at first, I didn't even know what adoption was. And so after they took me out of the orphanage, I just kept waiting for them to put me to work, you know, because that's what I had done in the orphanage. And oftentimes when children got to be 9, 10, and 11, they did go to richer people's homes and became like a bond servant to them. So that's what I was thinking, but they did not do that. My mom just kept on bathing me and trying to get rid of the lice in my hair and getting rid of the worms in my stomach and, you know, feeding me wonderful food. It's really the first time I tasted rice. Before that, I had eaten barley and corn mush and whatever else was available. But, you know, only rich people at that time really could afford rice. So now, you know, I was living with rich Americans, and they let me eat rice and with them at their own table. And just a lot of experiences of knowing how to use a regular toilet meant what to have a bath and to have hours that, you know, they wanted me to keep, because when I was on the street, I was, you know, my own boss. And in the orphanage, you know, we sort of course, had to follow the rules and regulations. But, you know, just a sense of, when I went wandering, you know, my mom would worry about me. I never had anyone worry about me before. So those were the kind of things. And then as I got older, of course, just trying to understand the turmoil that I had inside. Outwardly, I try to fit in really well to society, but I just couldn't inwardly. And it was not until I met my Jesus heart to heart, face to face, and I realized that I needed to give up my rights and my control and say, God, whatever, I have no strings attached. I want you to show me who I really am. And so from that point, the healing process began, and for me to find my true identity in Christ.
In case you just tuned in, I have Stephanie Fast on the phone with me. She's coming to the Muhammad area to Grace Church of Muhammad on Monday, November 2nd for a 7 p.m. presentation. She's a special guest of Loving Shepherd Ministries, and you've heard me have some of their staff on before and the great work that they're doing with children throughout the world. Stephanie Fast has become an internationally known public speaker who has impacted hundreds of thousands of lives with her compelling life story that began as an abandoned Korean War orphan. For the past few years, she has focused her efforts on advocating for orphans around the globe. She lives in Oregon with her husband, Daryl, and to her great joy, near their children and grandchildren. Well, take us through that process of coming to know the Lord Jesus Christ. Was it modeled through this family? Was it a youth pastor? What was that turning point where you received the Lord's grace and mercy, you recognized yourself as a sinner, and then was freed from that guilt?
Well, for me, I was so blessed that I was adopted by wonderful, wonderful Christian parents that definitely modeled that unconditional love of the Lord in my life. I also had the wonderful privilege of being on the mission field with my parents, surrounded by missionaries from all different denominations, and saw the humanitarian work, the medical work, the orphanage work, the church work, and the unity that I saw among missionaries cooperating with each other. And I know even for my parents, they were so blessed by the knowledge that other missionaries had to help my parents raising an older adoptee. Mm. And so that was such a blessing, and I got to see love in action around me. Mm. And looking back on my life, although I don't know anything about my biological family, I truly believe I had someone either on my mother's side or my father's side that was a prayer warrior. Mm. You know, when you get to this stage in life and you look back at your life, you realize there had to be a lot of prayer to take you through what you went through. And even the years that I lived on the streets and in the mountains, someone had to be praying for me. Mm. And so I'm so thankful for that. But my parents were missionaries, and then they were pastors. And outwardly, I was probably the best Christian you would run into. Mm-hmm. But inwardly, I lived in this, who am I? Mm-hmm. I'm so angry. I don't understand. If God loved me, why did I go through what I went through? You know the questions so many of us ask in the turmoils of our life. But it just really was not until my dad one night just explained a human part of Jesus. I knew the God part of Jesus, but I don't think I really understood that Jesus came in human body and that he walked in human shoes and he experienced human agony and human betrayal and human trials and temptations. Mm. And so when I began to see that part of Jesus, that he was in a womb of a woman that was not married. Mm. He had to run for his life when he was 2 years old. He lived in a foreign country where maybe he was also called a 2G. When he came back to his own country, nobody recognized who he was. And even in his family, the role that he played was a little awkward. Mm. And when he began his ministry, no one really understood who he was. And then they only wanted him for the good things he could do and the healings and the, you know, multiplying the bread and all that kind of stuff. Mm. But they didn't see that he had come to set up a totally different kingdom. And then he was betrayed and denied and spit upon and cursed, and he was nailed to the cross. So all that journey of Jesus really began to affect me to say, God, my God, is not just an ideal out there. My God is not something that I have to do, attain light or attain mercy. It's he came while I was a sinner. Hmm. And he loves me because he knows my heart. Hmm. And that was the turning point of my life.
I'm thinking, Stephanie, there's probably somebody scanning the dial, or I would call it God's providence. They might say circumstances, or they just happen to be tuned in. But you're speaking to them. They've been through a lot of hurt and heartache and pain, and they're saying, but there can't be a God who loves me, because why would he allow me to go through these things? What would you say to them?
I would say that if we truly want to step out in faith, which sometimes means you're stepping out into off a cliff and there's no net to catch you, right? Mm-hmm. Because you're taking all your human experiences and you've made that the truth. And you're saying, okay, I'm taking my human experiences and I'm going to turn it over to to a God that I can't see, that I can't feel, but by faith I'm going to do this. And when you do that, God has his Holy Spirit that he gives to you, and it reveals who Jesus really is to you. And for me, when I really began to walk in that and say, okay, I'm not going to base who I am on my human experiences. I'm going to base who I am on what the Word of God tells me that I am.
Amen.
And when I began to do that over the years, I felt like for me, it was sort of the same experience that Joseph had when he saw his brothers after they had sold him into slavery. And after all those years, he looked at them and he said in Genesis 50, I think, 52, you meant evil against me, but God meant it for good in order to bring about. And for every one of us, when we give our stories, when we give our rights, when we give our controls over to Jesus, he takes what the enemy meant for evil. And that is the supernatural right there. He takes what the enemy meant for evil, and he turns it for good. Not only for us, but for others that are willing to hear our story.
I love so much how you identify with the Lord Jesus Christ. And I can't think of the verse, maybe you know the reference, where he's that high priest that can identify with our struggles and our pains and our heartaches, because he lived on earth as a man and yet fully God, fully man, that mystery. But he can identify and can show compassion and empathy because he suffered himself.
Well,
Stephanie, I'm going to encourage our Great News Radio listeners to do two things: to purchase multiple copies of your book, She Is Mine, A War Orphan's Incredible Journey of Survival by Stephanie Fast, and better yet, to come see you in person on Monday night, November 2nd at Grace Church of Muhammad, 800 West Oak Street, that's Route 150 in Muhammad, Illinois. We'll be gathering at 7 p.m., and I'm pretty sure you'll have books available for people to purchase there. And you're coming because there's a great cause. It's called Loving Shepherd Ministries, and they love to reach out and help orphans throughout the world. So you're going to deliver a message and help us identify how we can get involved and help and assist and be a voice for those that aren't recognized.
Yes, for sure. And I hope the church is full and people come with great expectations.
For more information, you can stop by a website. It's loving-shepherd.org, loving-shepherd.org, or you can call 260-824-9000. That's Loving Shepherd's Ministries number, 260-824-9000. And if you didn't get to write down that information, just call the station, 217-367-7777, and we'll make sure you can learn more about this great book by Stephanie Fast, She Is Mine, or more information about meeting at Grace Church of Muhammad at 7 p.m. on Monday night, November 2nd. Well, Stephanie, I'm going to bless two of our listeners. Thank you for being such a blessing to me and our radio listening family, but I'm going to allow the third and the fifth caller right now to receive a copy of She Is Mine. So this morning's program also re-airs in the evening. So if you call at this point in the program tonight at the same time, and you're the third or the fifth caller, you'll receive She Is Mine by Stephanie Fast. But I look forward to seeing you, giving you a big, great East Central Illinois hug, and look forward to your message on Monday night, November 2nd.
Thank you. I am so looking forward to meeting you also and all the people that will come out that evening.
Stephanie, in our closing few seconds here, how can our Great News Radio listeners pray for you in the days ahead?
Health. You know, in travel, and especially this time of the year, it just seems like there's flu bugs just going around everywhere. And right now, actually, I'm dealing with it a little bit. So just that I am careful and not touch anyone, so there's no germs on that plane.
Sure.
And also just that the Lord would just give me the right words to speak at the right time, that I would be in tune to him continuously, that the Lord would strengthen my husband and my boys and their families, and that we would all be representatives of the Lord Jesus Christ.
And all of God's people said, Amen. Once again, Great News Radio listeners, the website to find out more about Stephanie Fast coming to town, stop by loving-shepherd.org, loving-shepherd.org, or by calling 260-824-9000. That's 260-824-9000. Well, thanks for listening. Thanks for being a part of this radio listening family. This is Mark Burns with the Ministry of Great News Radio. God bless you and have a great day and night.